Welcome to Practical Faith, a podcast aimed at offering practical advice on how faith can help us with life's everyday struggles. Thank you for joining me. I am Michael Brown. I have the privilege of being senior minister at Marble Collegiate Church in Manhattan. We're the oldest Protestant community in North America, and now we have a global following. Today on Practical Faith, we'll be discussing a very timely topic, the upcoming elections, and how some of the religion-related dialogue ties into our faith. Joining us is Ashley Johnson, a producer with Practical Faith. Welcome, Ashley.
Thank you. So to open up our conversation, faith is such an important part of our lives. While much has been said by both political parties about religion, we cannot let that dialogue dictate our decisions or affect our commitment to our own faith. As a faith leader, how would you guide people of faith in this election?
I think people of faith, if it's not shelved after Sundays, you know, and there's a church phenomenon and a faith phenomenon that are not always the same thing. Church may be, I participate in an institution that means something to me, and it's kind of fun or it's kind of expected or whatever else. Faith means this is a foundation of my living in the world for facing whatever it is I have to face. I think if you're a person who is faith-based, then there are principles that you live by that affect all the components of your life. They affect you relationally. They affect your economics, how you make money and what you do with it once you have it. They affect how you invest your time at your work and beyond your work, especially. And they would affect your idea of what is politically consistent with the foundation on which you've built your life, if that foundation is faith. Therefore, if you're a faith-based person, it's unthinkable that you would leave your faith outside of the voting booth because it's part of your DNA. If you're a person who's involved in church, but that's one activity among many and it's not really foundational, then it's easy to say that's something to do on Sundays, but it's not, it doesn't have anything to do with how I vote on Tuesday. You know, sometimes we ministers speak in predictable kind of platitudes. And then sometimes we say things that make some sense, but people are so used to predictable platitudes that that it bounces off. You know, you say love, you say grace, you say mercy, and those words just sort of, you know, float up into somewhere and are gone. This is none of those words, but shouldn't be, and it's prayer. I really think people of faith should pray prior to voting, and to pray close to the moment that they vote so that it has an impact. If I pray now, which I do, God, show me what to do. Show Americans what to do. Show our society what to do. That's important. If I pray before I step into the booth, like the old WWJD, okay, God, when I begin to vote, let me vote the way, to the best of my understanding, Jesus would have voted if he stood here. And it may not be the way I want to vote. And it may not be for the candidate I would have chosen. And it may not be in my party, whatever level, whether you're talking State House, White House, local government, whatever else. God, help me, I ask, to vote in a way that Jesus would have. Now that's a powerful prayer. That's not a weak prayer. You know, God is great and God is good, and then you dig in and you forget it. That's a prayer that if I've just prayed that, if I've just said to God, here's what I ask you to do, and then I step behind the curtain and do the opposite, that's a big internal struggle for somebody that takes God seriously. So I'm quick to tell folks, I tell my kids that, when you go vote, step into that booth, pray first. God, what do you want me to do? What is truly most closely aligned with your will for this moment in our history, in our country? And whatever it is, let me have a sense of certainty and peace.
So both sides have used Christianity to show voters who they are. Mm-hmm. Christians may not identify with these politicians. How can people vote with their faith without being affected by campaign messages?
I think it's going to be a shifting dynamic in years to come. If you and I are around long enough to see national campaigns in 2028 and 2040 and whenever else down the road, because the number of Christians in America is declining on a percentage basis vis-a-vis the population. So, what if we reach a point in time where the majority of faith-based people in America are Muslims, which would be the most likely demographic? At that point in time, will politicians begin quoting Muhammad and the Quran more than they quote Jesus and the Bible? Or if the greatest faith-based population in America at the moment were Jewish, would we hear more Moses and Hebrew scripture? You know, all of that is simply to say, in the political arena among people who are trying to get elected at a variety of levels, is their faith fundamental to how they conduct themselves as candidates? Or at this point in history where we are still more Christian than other faiths, do they try to employ Jesus as a campaign strategist? You know, do I try to get Jesus' endorsement? And I think there's, without trying to be cynical, there are probably a lot of us who feel that sometimes people try to get Jesus to be part of their campaign team until the day after the election. Years ago, there was a gentleman in a church I served who came Christmas and Easter if he didn't have a better offer. And then he decided to run for a rather impressive position in county government. And it was in a hotly contested contest. And so for about 3 months, he was literally on the front pew of the sanctuary every Sunday. And admittedly, as pastor, I became sort of intrigued, beyond curious, intrigued by, will I see him after the election? I did not. Huh. I did not. So Jesus was part of his campaign strategy, but not necessarily part of any kind of ongoing commitment. So, you know, that's a really long way of getting to the question, but I wonder at some point in history, will we see a shift in the religious icon to whom candidates refer based on how many voters follow that faith system, you know?
Yeah.
So, does faith drive the candidates, or does appealing to the religious sentiments of a large population of voters drive candidates? I think it's a pretty interesting question.
It is.
And if it's the latter, then you got another whole conversation at some point about political integrity. And that's neither Republican, Democrat, nor anything in between. It's, you know, if I'm willing to use Jesus to get me elected and then, hey, see you 4 years down the road, there's an integrity issue.
Yeah, yeah. So as a person of faith, that I can actually use my faith to vote the way that I feel.
Yeah, yeah. Getting back to that,
yeah.
A person of faith will, and as I said earlier, if faith is fundamental, if it's foundational, a person of faith will examine candidates and platforms asking the question, how does this square with what I believe in my faith system? Mm-hmm. You can't avoid that. As a Christian, I know what the Beatitudes say, which is sort of the the executive summary of the ethics of Jesus. That's pretty much what they are. If I know what they say about being peacemakers and being merciful and mourning the losses of others and dependence of people, dependency on God and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, all that, if I know that, and that's central, obviously, to the teachings of Jesus and to my own faith, then I have to examine candidates asking, are you in line with that? Are you consistent with that? Because this is my understanding of what constitutes truth. And if this constitutes truth and you don't, why would I vote for you? Which is why I, again, am somewhat curious, at least, about people who always vote a straight party ticket, you know?
Yeah.
Whichever party you happen to be a part of. It is inconceivable. It is statistically not only illogical, but impossible that every candidate in one party at every election will be more consistent with your faith understanding than at least some other candidate in the other party.
Mm-hmm.
But if you always vote a straight ticket, then you have said at that point, my politics takes precedence over my faith. Mm-hmm. However faithful I may be, it really is not the final word on how I would vote, because I would rather be faithful to my party than to my faith platform, than to my holy book, than to whatever the source is of what I believe. How does my faith influence my vote? And that's really a multi-layered kind of thing,
yeah.
Isn't it?
It is.
And at some point, it just calls us to examine priorities and to say what really ultimately matters most. On the Tuesday when I vote, after having been in church or synagogue or mosque on Sunday, did what I experienced on Sunday have sufficient impact that it's still with me when I pull a lever?
It's interesting that you said that, because we took our own poll here at Marble and surveyed our congregation, asking them if their faith would play a role in their election day decision. And an overwhelming 80% said yes.
Yeah.
Which, very interesting. But many don't believe there has been an active dialogue about faith by the candidates at this point. And so some of the other comments from the respondents included, the media hasn't provided me with a clear picture of where their faith plays a role in their politics, so my faith has to be stronger. What is your reaction to something like that, when you hear something like that?
Well, I'm not surprised, but I'm glad to know that the members of Marble Church, 80% would say, my faith and the way I vote will connect, however they vote.
Yeah.
I'm not at all surprised by that.
But interesting to hear that comment. My faith has to be stronger.
My faith has to be stronger. I really think that they're correct. And I'm sure as a politician, it must be difficult. I need to step back and say, okay, what about from their perspective? If you're dealing in a political system, a governmental system that talks about separation of church and state, and if you are trying to say to people of multiple faiths, I will honestly represent you with the same passion and support and commitment that I will people who go to my own church. Now, I realize that they're put in a difficult position, so it's hard for me. It would be easy for me to judge them too quickly. So I don't want to do that. By the same token, I think our folks are right in saying that there aren't very many faith conversations that go on. There are other topics we're not hearing a lot of conversation on. You know, we're hearing a lot of conversation on immigration. We're hearing a lot of conversation on how do you deal with ISIS. We're hearing some conversation on how do you deal with Putin. with economics. We're not hearing a great deal of conversation right now on environment. Mm-hmm. You know, not much, little, mm-hmm. a little, not a great deal. We're not hearing anything that I've heard, at least, on child abuse issues or trafficking, which is a global problem, and things of that nature. There are a lot of things that aren't being necessarily addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Among those things, I think, is religion. As I said earlier, there are efforts to use a particular faith to baptize your position or your candidacy. But I don't hear a great conversation right now about faith. What if candidates who claim that part of their foundation for living is the teachings of Jesus, listen to what Jesus taught? You know, what if we did that?
Yeah.
Because Jesus talked a lot, not necessarily about always agreeing with one another, but about how we treat each other. And he didn't cut any slack on that. Yeah. You know, we talk about gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He was not always meek or mild or gentle. He didn't give us a lot of wiggle room on, well, try to be nice to one another, but if you can't, I understand. He didn't do that. Love your enemy. Pray for those who despitefully use you. If someone's unfair to you, treat them with greater fairness. St. Paul. Love your enemy. Now, Paul then gets more human than Jesus did. And it says, for by so doing, you will pour coals upon his head. In other words, you'll defeat him by loving him. But even Paul, with his kind of militant mindset sometimes, still said, Jesus says love's your greatest tool. Paul says it's your greatest weapon. But each of them ultimately said, this is what you got to do. Well, so what if American politicians at whatever level said, okay, my faith says that I have to love people. I don't have to agree with them. I can debate issues with them. I can take a different side to some topic than they do, and I can make it clear, I don't agree with you, and here's why. But I cannot slice and dice you, and I cannot go for the jugular, because that is to live by a dynamic of hatred, and my faith tells me I can't do that. Wouldn't that change American politics?
Completely.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
So how seriously do we take our faith as politicians? And again, how difficult is it if one politician said, I'm going to create my campaign by the teachings of Christ, knowing that the other one's not going to?
The last one is, the dialogue from the candidates has not affected me much. Mm. As I do not fundamentally believe that either candidate has any authority over the will of God and the inevitable victory of good over evil. There hasn't been a dialogue about faith, but I look at their words and actions over time to guide my decisions. What do you think about a comment like that?
Well, you should. Certainly, the candidates do not have any authority over the will of God, nor does anybody else. The ultimate outcome of good and evil, I think in temporary short-term senses, sometimes candidates will have an influence. You will influence other legislators to do or leave undone certain things in the local or global battle of good versus evil. I would want candidates who are offended by evil, you know. I mentioned trafficking earlier. Mm-hmm. I would listen seriously to a candidate who is offended by that. I mean, if a person can be cavalier about an issue like that, or an issue like child abuse, mm-hmm. where we realize that one out of every three preteens is abused, sexually, psychologically, or physically. Okay, if that doesn't bother you, then it bothers me when I think about voting for you.
Mm.
So I want my candidates to be passionate about achieving goodness and passionate about combating evil. And therefore, as this person said, I will probably listen closely to their whole score, you know. If they hit a bad note in a speech,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes the wrong note is hit in a song. But if over the course of the whole score I continue to hear that which is either inspiring or troubling, that affects the way I vote, whichever party that person happens to be in. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you look at a person's body of work, which for candidates is pretty much their body of words. And I take those words often and set them over against the words of my faith book, Hebrew Scripture and New Testament. Do these sound like they came from, you know, the same universe? And if not, then I need to sort of seriously consider then what does that encourage or discourage within me as I become a voter? You know?
Yeah.
Because again, as people of faith, our faith has to influence that. Pope Francis said, we are a world at war, which is in fact true, and I'm going to reference that this coming Sunday in a sermon. If I am unconcerned about the moral or faith investments of candidates, then ultimately I think I contribute to an environment where we continue to be a world at war. If I'm not interested in good versus evil, then I'm saying, you know, I'm giving evil a blank check, I think.
Good thoughts, all good thoughts. So do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
There is not going to be a Messiah running for any office. So whoever I vote for, there will be some issues at some place that I find troubling. And I will not confuse them. They're not running for Pope. They're running for president, or they're running for governor, or they're running for Senate, or whatever. But as closely as I can get, I would like to think, does this person connect with the values that my faith has birthed in me? So, honest to goodness, I tell people right before you step in the box, say the prayer. God, in as much as possible, tell me what to do when I pull the levers. And to me, it has an influence. To me, it's important. And so I think prayer should not be one of those weak words that vanishes once we use it, but it can be a transformative tool for us in a million ways. And one of those ways would be as voters. It's been a pleasure having you with us today on Practical Faith. I know that the conversation we've had will continue in your own minds and your own relationships as we approach Election Day. May your faith have an impact on how you vote, and may God's blessings remain upon our country.